The Afterlife podcast employs dark humor and frank language. It is intended for a mature audience. You are listening to Afterlife. Serialized fiction, hilarious fiction, written by me, Maximilian Defoe. Thank you for joining me for episode 12, Why the Caged Bird Sings. Karen, more interested in her own comfort than temporary associations, walked across the room and sat down next to the rapist with her two drinks. The rapist gave Karen a pleasant smile as she approached, but when she didn't return it immediately, he didn't waste any time returning his attention to other things. Karen parked her champagne on the table in front of them. This seemed to her to be more of a scotch scene. She no longer felt celebratory. She'd tried to shake off her dark mood, but was still feeling deflated, having seen a rap phenomenon gracefully suspend his own performance instead of try to compete with 10 other guys trying to rap and sing. It was the classiest thing he could have done in those circumstances. She understood that. But it depressed her that diplomacy called for the folding of his own wings to let the caged birds sing. But he was the dog father, and true to his name, he chose to empower instead of overpower, gifting them a taste of what true power felt like. And in the process, he'd shown Karen what true power looked like. Instead of slapping their hands away, he'd let his musical grandchildren touch and play with his things. He hadn't even looked mad. He'd looked unmistakably proud. Snoop had watched beaming as the pretend Snoops trooped around the small outdoor stage, high off the vapors of hip-hop music, each giving their individual performances of a lifetime in their own minds, happy and deluded, preferring grander illusions of their interactions with the world instead of a more widely shared version of things. In Karen's opinion, people intoxicated to that level of self-absorption were beyond help. Being considerate of others was learned behavior, but people rarely took it upon themselves to learn new behaviors unless there was a potential benefit that would foreseeably be received. A change in perspective that inspired sharing the spotlight and hyping each other instead of the crowd seemed unlikely within an entire culture that promoted showboating instead of teamwork, giving birth to a caucus of audacious, self-proclaimed virtuosi, mistaking record sales for talent, oblivious of how they occur to the rest of the world, like special needs children, concerned only with their own enjoyment of things. From her seat next to the convicted rapist, he looked like an attorney. Karen watched an elderly woman in a Swarovski crystal gown move through the crowd, drinking unattended drinks. Karen cringed. Did the woman not know the drinks here were free? It was oddball behavior for the woman, if her dress was any indication of her class, to engage in. Karen had seen it done before at house parties, but it was usually somebody's maladjusted children desperate for relief from emotional pain. She had occasionally seen adults do it, but only after a party had ended, the liquor stores closed, and the liquor cabinet emptied of alcoholic things to drink. The woman was petite, but with an air about herself that commanded attention. When she noticed Karen watching her, she walked right over to where Karen was sitting and glowered over the rapist until, obviously unnerved, he got up and moved away. The woman sat down. "That's my glass of champagne there," she said to the dignified-looking lady with a fairy godmother dress and pure white hair. "Rather, it's yours if you'd like it. I'm not going to drink it. I settled on scotch instead. The older lady treated Karen to a broad smile. Karen's face broke into an uncharacteristically open grin.
Rebecca Leventhal,
proclaimed the woman, shifting Karen's used-to-be champagne flute into her left hand, extending her other liver-spotted hand in a greeting. Pleased to meet you, Mrs. Leventhal, replied Karen, deciding it was safe to assume that a woman this handsome hadn't been able to live to this ripe and old age without having been married. It was presumptuous, but this woman had old-school class and probably old-school sensibilities. If Karen were incorrect in her supposition, the woman was unlikely to be offended by Karen's mistake. Mrs. Leventhal's face was radiant. Karen hadn't ever seen an older woman with such thick, gorgeous hair. She was probably a long-time raw fooder, Karen postulated, like the vivacious brown-skinned woman she'd seen on YouTube that was 70 years old and didn't look a day over 36. Unfortunately, the supreme vegan being's husband, a devout fried food and meat eater, hadn't followed his wife's lead and was overweight, with clogged arteries and diabetic, already taunting death at the age of 66. Social etiquette tempered Karen's wanton desire to beg the woman to divulge the name of her stylist, but unwilling to forego the topic entirely, just in case some information might be gleaned from casual conversation. Karen tiptoed around the subject with a general compliment on the woman's personal flair.
Thank you, my dear. What brings you to this gathering? Are you a friend of Cassandra's?
No, not yet. Karen smiled. I live in the house next door. Is Cassandra the hostess? Would you mind pointing her out to me? Karen looked around the room.
Oh, Cassandra's not here. Not yet. I expect to see her shortly. She'll be pleased that you've come by, I'm sure. I have no doubt you'll meet her. Eventually.
Mrs. Leventhal tipped up the flute, finishing off the champagne. She placed the empty glass on the table, stood up, and moved away to circulate.
You've been listening to the Afterlife Podcast. Thank you for joining me for episode 12, Why the Caged Bird Sings. Next week on the Afterlife Podcast, we're back with Jimmy Jennings, who finds himself in a woman's bed for the first time since he died, and travel into a nowhere place as we drift with Jimmy Jennings into a dead man's dreams. For more episodes of the Afterlife Podcast, visit TarynMaximilianDefoe.com/forever-afterlife, where you can find not only episodes that you may have missed, but links to the Afterlife boards on Pinterest featuring additional material, videos, images of Karen's bachelorette pad, what's inside Cassandra's closet. I mean, hey, who doesn't like lingerie? Recipes of the foods I mentioned in this podcast, because I'm a foodie. And I've included some of my favorite things in the story food-wise and other goodies. Did you like this episode? Yes? Yeah! Leave me a review on iTunes. It really does make a difference. This week's episode features music from Otis McDonald, Rich Man in the Sky. Follow me and say hello. On Twitter, you can find me at MaxxiMillian. Same for Pinterest and Patreon. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.